Sonny Gray, Matt Harvey, Robbie Ray, Matt Shoemaker, Matt Schumacher, Joe DiMaggio, Wobble War, OBP, Hard Hit Ray, ADP, Southpaw Slits, Pint Arm, Mitz, Wolf, Wado, Throw a No No.
Hey, welcome to the Wednesday show. It's gonna sound better than the Tuesday show. It is June 14th. Adam Azer, Scott White, Chris Towers. You know what my goal is for today, guys? What, Adam? What's your goal? Let me tell you my goal. I want people to come away from this show being like, holy cow, they covered so much stuff on Wednesday's show. They're going to call their friends. They're going to say, hey, Pierre, did you hear the show today? Fantasy Baseball Today, they covered everything. It's so comprehensive. You have to listen. Tell your friend. That's today's show, okay?
Tell your friend Pierre.
Pierre and all your friends, yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know Pierre.
Make a friend, Chris, for God's sake. Hello, Chris and Scott. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Doing extra well in the leagues where I picked up Jacob Faria.
Oh, really? What about the one where you made us start Chris Devensky over Jacob Faria? You just had to pick Devensky's worst
Scott.
Week.
Our record, you know, that's a categories league. We have an 8-1-1 lead. So, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Adam.
Okay. Sorry.
We benched Faria out of an abundance of caution because I thought we could win anyway.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we can. All right. So Faria is definitely going to be on the show today. Andrew McCutchen. Yeah. I'm not going to shy away from it. Bring it on, people. That's cool. We can talk about McCutchen. Andrelton Simmons stole two more bases. We had a lot of very interesting pitchers go yesterday. We had Marco Estrada be terrible again. I want to talk about Eric Thames. I want to talk about Yasiel Puig. I want to talk about Billy Hamilton. But first, I want to talk about the tweet of the day, which is from at CBS Scott White. I am Faria King out. Faria-King out. Chris?
You should have done Faria-K-ing out. Because of all the strikeouts he's getting.
Faria K. See, this isn't a great pun. I'll be the first to say it. But you and Heath, sometimes you take them too far. You add one too many layers and it just ruins the whole thing.
Yeah, the worse a pun is, the better.
I don't think that's true at all.
That's 100%.
It's not a bad point. It's not a bad point. But yeah, we should be Faria King out here. First of all, Jacob Faria is only 32% owned. What?
That's about doubled.
He should be more than 32% owned, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. He's going to be the lead of the waiver wire column today when I write it, and you have to be very impressed by what he's done so far.
Let me ask
this. Yeah, I'm especially impressed by the efficiency because it didn't look like he would profile as that the season he had a AAA. Great strikeout rate, suspect walk rate, though. You know, we've talked before about how walk rates always seem kind of high for minor league pitchers. Mm-hmm. But he's been so efficient and then he's had the strikeouts too. Now, not as many swinging strikes in this start, 9, as the last start, 16. But I feel like that's nitpicking, especially when the guy's 32% owned.
Right. So let me ask this. I don't have any 10 team leagues, but even if I did, I still think I'd want to add Jacob Faria. Are there any leagues that you could think of that you wouldn't be making sure Jacob Faria is owned? And if you were unowned, you'd be putting in a claim. And then follow-up question, did you by any chance search some of your leagues last night and get mad at me because I own Faria in so many of them?
Well, I've got a 10-team league where I currently have Samardzija, Shoemaker, Matz, and Pomeranz on my bench. I guess I'd drop Shoemaker for him, but I'm not 100% sure on it. That's the only one.
Not Pomeranz?
Yeah, that seems like the appropriate cutoff. So we're talking
like a borderline top 50 for me.
Yeah. So it's like, if it's a 10-team league and you have a really good team, I could see how your worst player might not be good enough to drop for Faria, but somebody in your league needs Faria.
Yeah. All right.
Even if it's not you.
All right. So exciting. Pick him up. And obviously, he's going to give up 8 runs next time out. So.
And speaking of that, my worst pitcher might actually be Joe Ross.
Oh, yeah.
I'd drop Joe Ross for him.
I'd make that swap.
Now? After his last start.
I said it. Did you listen to you? I know you listened to
not
the podcast.
Not after the next start when he strikes out 14.
I know you listen to the podcast when you're not on, Chris, which I do appreciate. Did you listen to yesterday's podcast?
I did.
Okay, good. I finally got something right. I said that I wasn't buying Joe Ross after the last start. I thought it had more to do with the Orioles than Joe Ross. And I watched his start yesterday, and I'm not really – look, the velocity thing, there was a drop-off. I don't know if it was a huge one. He was throwing like 91, 92-ish in the middle innings. And I just didn't really see a great pitcher out there. And he's going to struggle against lefties, it appears. He got hit hard. Even when they were making outs, they were hard outs. So it seems like Joe Ross is pretty replaceable at the moment.
Yeah, there's a certain breaking ball he's had issues with that's supposed to help him against left-handers. So that it just seems like that continues to be inconsistent for him. I don't remember if it's a splitter or a slider, but it's one of those. And
all right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, certainly the fact that the Orioles didn't start any of their best hitters helped last time out. But I, like with him and with Masahiro Tanaka, I don't think you can just entirely credit the matchup for him looking like a world beater, double digit K's guy versus right. him getting completely rocked. Like, there's not that much difference between any major league lineup.
And there are bad lineups out there every day. Like, yeah. teams are going up against the Angels every single day and not striking out 12 batters.
No.
So it's like, that's a variable in this equation, but I can't just put it all on that.
Yeah. No, it was more like the Orioles just didn't want to be there. They were complaining about it. It was a makeup for a doubleheader or for a rainout. And look, I didn't drop Joe Ross. I just didn't start him. And I still haven't dropped him. I would drop him for Faria, but like I said, I already own Faria in that league. So, all right, let's get to something else here. Tuesday's standouts and Andrew McCutchen. You know, sometimes you move a guy to a different spot in the order, and it really helps. And the guy I keep comparing McCutchen to is Adam Jones. And last year, Adam Jones got moved to leadoff, and he hit well for an extended period of time. Right now, McCutchen got 2 days off when they were in Atlanta. He collected his thoughts. He adjusted his swing. And he got moved down to sixth in the order, and he's batting .397 with 5 home runs, including 2 yesterday, in 17 games.
Well, Adam.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
Regression? What is
he
it?
He was due. He had to have
this. I know.
He hadn't been good before, so he had to do this to make up for it.
I agree. I even said he was going to have a hot streak. The question is, you know, how good is Andrew McCutchen? Is this just a hot streak, or... How much do you believe in him?
I believe in him because there's a clear mechanical adjustment he's cited, and he cited it before this started, like immediately before it started. Like the correlation is so strong.
Whatever.
That I see it as more of an explanation than a coincidence, and he's in one of those cases who we didn't really understand what was wrong with him.
We didn't?
It just seemed like. It seemed like premature aging for a 30-year-old, right?
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
What other explanation was there?
No, but it did seem like clear aging because he became a terrible center fielder. He stopped stealing bases. So it, whether or not, like, premature, yeah, it didn't make sense. He's only 30. I get that. But it was happening, and it was obvious, and they wanted to trade him. I mean, they were putting him on the market. So it just seemed
well,
to
they
me like...
do it again. I think he's back.
I guess so.
I'm sure the mechanical adjustment, maybe that's helped, and I'm sure there's something there. But even when he was at his worst, he was striking out below 20% of the time, so above average strikeout rate. He was walking a bunch. His isolated power isolated slugging percentage was still like 180, 170, so still pretty good. And he just had a really low BABIP, and that's what Heath and I kept saying. Was just like, Andrew McCutchen is not a superstar anymore. Like, looking forward, I don't expect, you know, over his last 28 games, he's hitting .308 with a .937 OPS. I'm not even sure I expect that much. But
he's the number 23, like, with the cold start, with him being only a 250 hitter overall, he's the number 23 outfielder in points leagues.
Yeah, and I always said, even from the beginning, that he was going to be better in points leagues, and he's going to be better in OBP leagues, Andrew McCutchen. I get that. But if you don't get credit for walks, which is, I would say, his best skill... then right. You're not talking about – he's not a top 30 outfielder in those formats. He's like 40th.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that.
Well, I'm telling you what
but
he is
I mean,
right now.
I don't know what he is going forward. If we're classifying – like you seem to be classifying your expectations one way. Chris used the term superstar. I don't know what exactly we mean by superstar player. I don't think he can be a top 10 outfielder again.
Yeah, no.
There's just too much bulk at that position. But I have him 23rd right now. and trending up. I mean, some of the names I have ahead of them, Yoenis Cespedes, Jose Ramirez, Marcelo Zuna, even Corey Dickerson, I can't say for sure that they're great. They certainly look, particularly Ozuna and Dickerson, they certainly look great this season, but there's big questions for all of them. So it's conceivable to me McCutchen could sneak back into the top 20.
And I'm not 100% sure where he ranks among outfielders right now, but he's a top 75 overall player in Roto right now.
He's 32nd. I was wrong. When I said top 40, I didn't mean what I expected rest of season. I meant what he is right now, and I was wrong. I was just looking at the list and ballparking it. McCutchen's
32nd. And
that's
still with only like a 277 BABIP. Now, I don't think he's going to be a 350 kind of BABIP guy like he was at his peak, because he has lost a step both in the field and, you know, his bat slowed down a bit, but there's probably another 20 or 30 points of batting average regression. Like, I think he's a 290 hitter moving forward.
All right, and I would say that I'll give him credit for one thing. He's got six steals, which is, you know, he's, what, probably 16 steal pace or something, and that's pretty solid. I thought it would, you know, keep getting lower, but it's nothing to sneeze. That's not great, but good for him. I still don't like him, but I understand that right now I look like an idiot, and I'm not going to run away from that, no problem. Let me give one more standout here. Andrelton Simmons, 62% owned. Another guy I dumped on the other day. Look, it's going to be hard for me to buy into Simmons as a hitter. I know he's had a great month, but he does have 10 steals, and he had 8 steals after the All-Star break last year. He had 5 steals in September last year. So he's got 10 steals, Andrelton Simmons, right now. That matches a career high, which he set last year. But again, now it's like All-Star break to 1 month before the All-Star break, 18 total steals, almost the full season's worth of games. Like, well, not even. So that's pretty cool. And Scott mentioned that in his waiver wire column about Andrelton Simmons, who is 62% owned. So there you go. Hooray.
Yeah, he's actually in my top 12 shortstops now, not because I'm super confident that what he's done so far this year is legit, but just because there's actually some reason for hope for him, and there's not 12 other shortstops who I could say that about. I guess it's kind of borderline him and Eduardo Nunez. They're kind of competing for the 12 and 13th spots for me. It seems like Simmons has a little more home run potential and a little more walk potential. So I'm giving him the edge, but
wow, what a horror story this is, that you have Andrelton Simmons not 7 spots ahead of Didi Gregorius. Sir, have you lost your mind?
No. Here's the thing that doesn't make sense about Andrelton Simmons. Over the last 365 days, he's played 160 games and he has 20 stolen bases, 9 home runs, hitting .293. That might be a top 12 shortstop. He had 16 stolen bases in the first 530 games of his career. So it's just like...
Yeah, but that's...
No, I just...
Look at Cameron Maybin. No, like, the Angels want
sure,
to run.
But it's just... It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre that he's just doing something he's literally never done before.
Oh, he did it in the minors. Not at a great, with a great success rate. But this... Like, one of the disappointments when he graduated to the majors was, why does he not run more?
Yeah, and he's 20-2 on stolen bases, too. So it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's one of those things, like, if you don't practice it, you're going to be bad at it. Like, you can't become a good base stealer unless you try to steal bases more.
By the way, Didi Gregorius, since he came off the DL, is a top 7, top 8 shortstop. I looked at it yesterday, not this morning. So, yeah, I don't know. Feels a little low in the rankings to me, but... He has also been a little bit lucky during this 13 or 14 game hitting streak. Andrelton Simmons, by the way, he's a career 678 OPS. So it's a little dicey, but the steals are nice.
Oh, it's definitely dicey.
Okay.
There is some history of him running and some history of him hitting this for this kind of power in his past. And he's always made contact at a good rate. So that aspect doesn't worry me.
Okay, what's today's date? The 14th of June. I am so confident that Didi Gregorius is going to be better than Andrelton Simmons. I will bet anything, anything reasonable.
100 doll hairs.
100 doll hairs. I will find some dolls and I will ante that up. So Scott and I have a fake bet from June 14th on. Chris, what side are you on, Simmons or Didi?
Gregorius.
Gregorius, excellent. What else stood out to you guys yesterday?
There was a lot that happened on Tuesday, Adam. I feel like Brad Peacock's start was interesting for a number of reasons. Gave me some pause about potentially dropping him after a rocky outing last time. 10 strikeouts in 4 2/3 innings. That's eight plus strikeouts now and 4 of 5 starts. But only one of them went the minimum 5 innings required for a win, which is kind of the minimum expectation for a fantasy caliber pitcher. But that being said, Peacock was going on 3 days rest, so there was a lot of weird stuff happening here. I just was pleased that he bounced back with another big strikeout effort and should remain on our radar.
All right, I'm going to give you guys 5 pitchers, and I want you to tell me your 2 favorites. Brad Peacock, Jacob Faria, Sean Newcomb, Buck Farmer got roughed up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Denelson Lamet. Peacock, Faria, Newcomb, Buck Farmer, Denelson Lamet. I'll ask for 2 favorites? Give me your 3 favorites.
Oh, yeah, because the 2 were pretty obvious, I think.
Newcomb and Faria, yeah. And then probably Peacock.
Yep, I agree.
In that order,
yep,
Newcomb.
18 swinging strikes last night.
Newcomb, Faria, Peacock.
Strikes in less than 5 innings. Sorry. I did walk for it, too.
And he threw 96 pitches in 5 innings.
Yeah,
so that's...
Yeah. So, you know, control's not... He's not completely past that. But I do see him as probably a higher... Like, a guy with more upside than Alex Meyer, who we've talked about as interesting with the strikeouts, but also having control issues. I don't think Peacock's control issues are that extreme.
And it looks like he might have thrown his hardest fastball with his last fastball, and his velocity... sustained pretty well late into the start, and I think that's a good sign for someone who's been moving out of the bullpen.
That's Brad Peacock. Okay, so again, you'd go Newcomb, then Faria, then Peacock, right?
Yeah.
I might give a little priority to Faria over Newcomb now after the second start, because he's done it twice and Newcomb's done it once, but, you know, they both need to be owned.
Well, I think Newcomb pitches today, right? So I can ask you tomorrow?
Yes. I might switch him back.
I think he pitches today. I'm not sure, but... all right.
I don't know actually either, but it's
we'll
going
to
be
a look.
Soon.
We'll take a look. I know he's a one-star pitcher this week. I'll take a look right now. I'm very curious. It is Julio Teheran. I am an idiot. I am sorry. So let's take a look. Oh, Chris, any standouts for you? And then we'll get into the stock market a little bit. We'll talk stocks. Chris?
Lance Lynn had a very good start, kind of a Brad Peacock-ish start, but he's such an interesting case because his I believe his ERA is still 2.2 runs high or lower. Yeah, lower than his FIP for the season. And it just, I'm wondering which one's going to correct for him.
Well, but he's always had a pretty low Lance Lynn. Well, let me look it up. Like, he's been a low 3 ERA guy before Tommy John, right? And right now his ERA is 2.69.
Yeah.
And he's always
right,
been...
but he hasn't had a FIP this high.
Well, why is the FIP high? I know the walks are high, 3.7, but he's usually at like 3.3 per nine. So he's not
a home run rate is like double what it usually is for him, which may be, well, there may be a few reasons for that. A, hitters all over the place are hitting more home runs now. B, let me look at his ground ball rate and see if it's similar.
It's pretty much where it's always been.
Yeah, it's never, like, he's never been this, like, super high ground ball guy, kind of average. Leans a little towards.
He's kind
ball.
Of average in everything.
Yeah,
right.
Like a little below average walk rate, maybe a little above average strikeout rate.
So my takeaway is, yeah, the home run rate should probably be higher for him. Maybe not as high as it's been so far, but in this landscape, it makes sense that he'd be more of like an even 1 home run per 9 inning guy. It's been 1.5 so far. So, you know, probably some correction on both ends, the ERA and the WHIP.
Okay, so that's Lance Lynn we're talking about, who only went 5 innings. He walked 4, but he struck out 8 Brewers and only 3 hits. And 5-3 with a 2.69 ERA, about a strikeout per inning. And 4 starts in a row of 5 or 5 1/3. So he's in a little bit of a slump, I guess. But still, is there anything to say about Lance Lynn right now other than just start him every time out?
If I could include him as a piece in a trade, I would definitely be looking to do that.
Like Lynn and another decent pitcher for a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see his in the meantime, I don't see him as must start in mixed league.
Yeah.
Like he's, how many, he keeps going five innings. He's not even giving you quality starts.
Yeah, well, that's sort of a new thing, but, well, four starts.
Four starts in a row.
I guess think. It's almost, yeah, it's just, you have to have a lot of guts to sit Lance Lynn. I don't know about that. Let me just see what his start percentage was. I can't imagine I'm sitting Lance Lynn and he was started in 85% of leagues. Might be a two-star pitcher, so that would probably have something to do with it. All right. I see him as,
you know, like, would you ever sit Matt Shoemaker? I think they're pretty similar in terms of startability.
And yeah, I've definitely sat Matt Shoemaker.
Me too.
Okay. Well, I don't think based on ownership rate, start percentage, you know, and how it has fluctuated throughout the season, I don't think fantasy owners have thought of Matt Shoemaker and Lance Lynn the same way.
Probably not, which is why, to Chris's point, might be worth shopping him because okay. He's not as good as he's perceived to be.
So I'm going to give you some pitchers. You tell me if their stock is up after yesterday or if, you know, whatever. Gerrit Cole. 7 innings, 1 run on 3 hits, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, only 6 swinging strikes against the Colorado Rockies. But it was a good start. 1 run in 7 innings for Gerrit Cole. Stock up or the same?
It was good to see him staunch the bleeding a little bit.
Yeah. I would say up just because I may have overcorrected taking him down after his last start, 4 miserable ones in a row. And even though he didn't, you know, he wasn't a dominant bat misser in this start. The number of ground balls he got was the highest during the 5-start stretch, obviously the first 4 being terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
And he talked about pitching down in the zone in a way he hadn't been doing recently. So that's he's always been a good ground ball guy. It's a big key to his success.
Right, we did talk about that. That may have been the problem for Gerrit Cole, that he wasn't getting the downward action on his pitches, leaving things up too much. So hopefully took a step in the right direction. He's about 21st in the rankings for all 3 of our analysts. John Lester, 7 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts at the Mets. He's a top 10 pitcher. His value never really went down, even though he's not having a great year with a 3.89 ERA for John Lester. Stock up at all, or at least maybe in your minds after this pitch, after this outing?
I really haven't moved him down at all. And, you know, that's kind of in part of my philosophy is just that I'm going with ace guys, especially and with elite guys, I'm going to give them a lot of rope and, you know, stretches like this happen. I think John Lester's going to be fine.
All righty. Next up, Jason Vargas. Jason Vargas is 53rd for Scott. He is 62nd for Heath. Chris, you want to do a rankings update on Jason Vargas? You have him 90th right now.
Yeah, he can move up, I guess. But, like, I'm looking at it and, like, I don't really see any reason to move him above, I don't know, Jaime Garcia?
Okay, well, that put him 70. That's significant.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to buy it.
Okay, well.
And I haven't all season. Like, it's. Besides, like, the results are different, and that's obviously something, but other than that, he looks like the same guy he's always been. He's a fly ball pitcher who doesn't get that many strikeouts. He doesn't walk anyone.
Is that guy more valuable in this landscape, though? Like, we were just talking about the merits of sitting Lance Lynn. As of right now, acknowledging that it could change within a couple weeks, but you know, I'm at 53rd ranking him at a point where that's still pretty replaceable. I trust him more than Lance Lynn right now. I would have a harder time sitting Jason Vargas with the kind of extended run he's on than Lance Lynn.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a 4 ERA guy for his career.
With a lot of innings.
And I don't know. I think he's fine, Jason Vargas, to start, but I'm not looking to start him. I haven't been looking to add him at all this season. And that I've missed out on some good starts, I guess, but I don't see any real reason to buy it. I don't see an explanation that makes sense for why he's pitching well.
So that's our stock up section with Gerrit Cole, John Lester, and Jason Vargas with some mixed responses there. Let's do stock down. Let me give you 3 pitchers. Tell me if you think their stock is down after yesterday's outings. David Price, Marco Estrada, and Zach Greinke. Price, two straight starts with four walks, command a little shaky. Estrada has been terrible lately, and now he has a 4.54 ERA. And he gave up 12 hits and 6 runs against the Rays yesterday. And Zach Greinke, 5 unearned runs, but less than 6 innings in 3 of his last 4 starts. Yesterday, not really his fault. Defense let him down in the 6th inning, and he gave up 5 unearned runs. So Price, Estrada, Zach Greinke, any stock downgrade here for these guys?
Not significantly for me. Maybe Estrada's going to have to move down a few spots in my rankings just because, like with Cole, except the other way, I overcorrected him and moved him up too high when he was getting double-digit strikeout efforts early in the year. I like the way the Blue Jays manager, John Gibbons, put it after this start, where he said Marco's, I forget the exact word he used, but basically he needs to be spot on with his command because the stuff is only marginal. He doesn't throw very hard. It's amazing he gets as many strikeouts as he does. But if he's just a little off, he can get shelled. And I think that's what we've seen with the last 3 starts. I think it's very correctable. I think it'll correct soon. But knowing that there's always that downside built in and it could always pop up at any point, he's probably not a top 30 pitcher in fantasy.
And something for him to keep in mind is that he did exceptionally well pitching high in the zone and getting infield pop-ups. That was something that really helped him limit that BABIP, kept it in the 250 to 230 range over the last couple of years. This season, his infield fly ball rate has dropped in half, and his BABIP and his home run rate have gone in the opposite direction as a result. Now, I don't think he's a 336 BABIP guy because his career is 260, but that's something to keep in mind. He's not been the same kind of pitcher that we've seen be really effective over the last couple of years.
All right, this is Marco Estrada we're talking about, and in the last 2 years, Marco Estrada has given up 6.7 and 6.8 hits per nine. That's unbelievable. This year he's giving up 9.6, so you are getting more strikeouts from him, but you're getting a lot more hits too. And I will also say with Estrada, he had a 6-start stretch late last year, August and September, with a 7.53 ERA. He was terrible, and he got it corrected. His last 3 starts of the regular season after that 7.53 ERA stretch, 19 innings, 2 runs, and then he had a 2.01 ERA and 3 postseason starts. So he slumped last year, and he came out of it, and hopefully he can do the same.
I am going to keep him in my top 30, by the way, looking at the names.
Yeah.
Barely in my top 30, but outside the top 25.
I just moved him to 29.
Yeah.
All right, Marco Estrada. Good job. Thames watch! Eric Thames, in his last 27 games, is batting only 136. But he has 23 walks and 32 strikeouts in those 27 games. And based on all the emails we're getting, I gotta tell you, like, people are down on Eric Thames. If you believe in Eric Thames, now is the time. This is a great chance to get Eric Thames on the cheap.
I wonder if I could get him from Heath, who bought in one league when Thames' value was at the highest.
That would be the worst buy high, buy high, sell low of all time. Heath would not do that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll go for it, but I was kind of surprised. I think he just really wanted a share of Thames, too, in case he sustained that crazy level so he could enjoy it.
It is worth noting in that 27-game stretch, he's got like an 186 BABIP. You know, he's not hitting for nearly as much power, but you expect the ISO is like 160 in that stretch. You expect that to go up with a little better batted ball luck. The strikeouts are high, but the walks are high still. So yeah. I do think I can look at it and say, okay, maybe he's not a top 10 outfielder. Maybe he's not. He's almost certainly not the top 10 hitter we thought he might be. Mm-hmm. But, looking at my rankings, I had him 13th, and I'm trying to move him down, but the guys that I have him directly ahead of are Michael Conforto, Miguel Sano, Andrew McCutchen, Christian Yelich, Marcell Ozuna, guys that I have very similar doubts or concerns about.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, would you rather have Eric Thames or Andrew McCutchen?
I would still rather have Thames.
Me too.
Okay, good. I don't have to yell. Let's go to our favorite segment. Hey, real quick, guys. Is Yasiel Puig overowned at 85%?
I think so. Yeah, that's over-owned. He needs to be owned in all five outfielder leagues, but three outfielder leagues, I mean, just if you're swapping out Hot Hand off the waiver wire, that's clearly not him right now. And I don't think there's enough hope for this miraculous turnaround that makes for his best season in 3 years or whatever, that okay. You just need to stash him.
Well, I think that's probably true. On the other hand, he is on pace for a 25-25 season. Strikeout rate's not alarming. Walk rate's up. The batted ball profile is where Yasiel Puig is hurting. 32% hard hit rate, 15% line drive rate. That's the concern.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Also, he just heard what you said, and he gave you the double middle finger. So,
I love it.
You saw that last night?
Yeah.
Double middle. Yeah, that was intense. I got the double middle one time. It was one of the. I was driving. It was the subway. On Cypress Creek. It's like very jam packed parking lot.
Oh, like the restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurant.
The way a sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jamie and I were at that subway, and that parking lot is just dreadful. And one driver did not like what I did, even though it was totally his fault. And he gave me the double bird, and we just started cracking up. Like, whoa, I've gotten the finger before, but two of them?
One hand on the wheel, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, he wasn't driving. He was parked.
You're criticizing someone else's driving by taking your hands off the wheel, both of them?
He was stationary. He was stationary because we were in the parking lot, but still, I didn't deserve the double middle. So we had a nice laugh about it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hey, real quick, Corey Dickerson is batting .342 with a .544 slugging against lefties, and he's the number 7 outfielder in points, number 5 in Roto. What the hell, Corey Dickerson? How are you doing this?
Part of it is a .417 BABIP
against
lefties.
But
he's still got a 200 ISO. He's still got only like a 20% strikeout rate against them. So there is something here. He's not. He's probably more like a .260. BABIP guy against lefties, but
batting average guy.
But yeah. That's it's a situation like last season he struck out 31% of the time against lefties and hit for no power. The fact that he's at least with a guy like him, you're just hoping he holds his own against lefties.
Yeah.
He still had more than that.
He had an .807 OPS against righties last season with only a .272 BABIP. He hit 22 home runs. If he's an .850 OPS bat against righties and he can just keep his head above water against lefties, you're talking about a must-start outfielder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to regress. They're like kind of like we say with Aaron Judge. He can't sustain this pace, but I'm beyond the point where I'm looking to sell high on Dickerson. He's just a fixture in my lineup, and I'm content with that.
Thames or Dickerson?
Thames.
Oh, Thames easily.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say easily, but I'll say Thames.
I haven't moved Dickerson up nearly as much as you have.
Okay.
Fair enough.
McCutcheon or Dickerson?
McCutcheon.
I will go Dickerson, but that's pretty close.
Real quick, is Tony Walters too good for Tom Murphy owners to be getting excited about Murphy? Walters, look, he's got like no power, but he's got a .301 batting average, a .403 on base, and the Rockies have been pitching pretty well. So has he just been too good to expect a lot of playing time from Tom Murphy?
I don't get that sense from what I've seen written about Tom Murphy by Rockies beat writers. It seems like there's genuine enthusiasm that he's coming back.
He had a big game on his minor league rehab assignment last night.
I don't doubt it. I mean, his final two-thirds of his last minor league season were insane. But I don't think it's going to be a situation where Murphy starts 4 out of 5 games. You know, it's probably one will start 3 games and the other will start 2. And then the next time through, the other one might start 2 and the other one will start 3. I think it'll be close to a 50-50 split. So it's just is Murphy's power production going to stand out by so much that at a position where you can get away with not playing all that regularly and still matter in fantasy? Is he going to be that?
Adam, you might have brought this up preseason of just like in a deeper two catcher league, just having both of them and starting
both.
I did.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like it's, you're probably not going to get enough counting stats from it to justify it, but like you might get a .300 batting average out of your catchers, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
and your home run total, I suspect, will be good enough. just because Murphy's going to carry that completely. We're talking about today forward, obviously. Murphy's.
Yeah. He's also 12 of 23 over his last five games during his minor league rehab assignment. So I think he's okay. He's got seven hits in his last two.
You see, like, I was scoffed at in preseason when I said draft them both. But now, I don't want to...
I actually do own them both.
Were you scoffed at? I think you're misremembering this.
Heath shut it down pretty quickly, but
he, you know,
Heath scoffs at everything anybody says.
Look, we all love Heath.
And I don't want to say, like, I don't want to use the word genius lightly, but, well, anyway, we have a Reddit, an AMA on Reddit today at 2 p.m. Eastern, so please join us. And now I think it's time to, and you can ask us anything. I'm not sure how many of us will be doing it. I will definitely be there, and I will talk to Chris and Scott off the air and find out who is going to be joining me. So that's at 2 p.m. Eastern. Go to reddit.com, /r/fantasybaseball, and you will see the post. So let's do the news and notes. It's only been 35 minutes. Asdrubal Cabrera is on the DL with a thumb sprain, but no Ahmed Rosario?
I mean, you just can't take Jose Reyes' bat out of the lineup.
Well, they have been from Wilmer Flores.
I really don't know what they're waiting for. It's
money.
But that doesn't.
Yeah, that's gone.
Is it?
I mean, it's. I'm sure teams gauge that differently, and maybe the Mets just want to be extra.
But like, I don't
about
think
Super
it's
two.
Ever been as late as June 14th.
Okay. Well,
no, but I know some teams like to wait until late June just in case. So that might be all it is. They say he needs more work on something or other.
Yes,
I don't know.
His like strike zone recognition, basically.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I've read the strikeout rate isn't crazy low.
I think I've read that they don't love his defense, which feels like the default thing that teams say when they don't want to when they want to justify not calling up a top prospect.
You know, I think I saw a Mets
beat writer because nobody can really prove it.
Say that they were saying the same thing about Michael Conforto a couple years ago, and now he plays center field for them.
And also they've also jerked around Michael Conforto.
Yeah, but that's partially because
they're the Mets.
They had an overloaded outfield. They could clearly use Ahmed Rosario on an everyday basis, even if Asdrubal Cabrera is healthy. He's not good.
Okay. Well, let me move us forward here.
He's
guys.
He needs to be stashed even more than he did before this injury.
Adrian Gonzalez is going to be out indefinitely with a back issue. Jock Peterson's off the DL. Cody Bellinger is going to play some first base. Cody Bellinger double donged yesterday, and Chris Taylor will maybe help him stay in the lineup. He stole his fifth base yesterday. Mike Trout thinks he could return before the All-Star break. Chris Davis is on the DL with an oblique strain, mild oblique strain. It might be, you know, still more than a month. Zach Cozart, day-to-day with quad tightness. We've got a call-up, guys. The Astros are calling up outfield prospect Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher, former coach of the New York Knicks. What do you think about Derek Fisher of the Astros?
He's had a really good year at AAA. Last I looked at it, he's seemed to like a pretty marginal prospect coming into the year. And you can't help but wonder if the PCL inflated those numbers, but 16 home runs, 13 steals, was caught 10 times.
Looks like three true outcomes, guys. Going to walk a lot, going to strike out a lot, going to hit for some power. He does have 16 home runs in his first 60 games this season.
Now remember, Josh Reddick's on the DL, or I don't know if they didn't officially put him on the DL yet, but he's got a concussion.
Yeah. So and it's not clear that Fisher will just be playing every day while Reddick's out.
Yeah.
It might just be, you know, get his feet wet, you know, a little short-term exposure before Reddick comes back. So I'm not that motivated, Adam. I mean, there's a million outfielders, not literally, but there's probably tens of outfielders I'd be looking to add before him in most mixed leagues.
Did you say you're not motivated to add him, or did you say you're not motivated, Adam? You said, like, Adam to Adam?
I'll leave it to the audience's interpretation. It's like the ending of Inception.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it is. Mm. Yoenis Cespedes returned to the Mets lineup. Michael Conforto sat again. Ben Zobrist sat with a wrist issue. We'll talk about the Cubs in a moment. Kyle Hendricks won't return from his hand injury this weekend. Cesar Hernandez out 6 weeks with an oblique strain. Devin Travis had knee surgery, out for a while. Michael Fulmer has right shoulder bursitis and will have his start pushed back maybe to this weekend. We shall see. Justin Bour should be back on Friday. CC Sabathia likely headed to the DL with a hamstring strain. I have not seen anything about Chance Adams. He's not on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, that's a hurdle. It probably is going to depend on the severity of this hamstring injury for Sabathia. I did see that potentially Chad Green could get another start. I don't know how stretched out he is. He didn't last very long the first time. I think the last turn he got a start, right?
Yeah, he had like 30 pitches or something. 40 pitches.
I am, like I said with Ahmed Rosario, even if Chance Adams doesn't literally take the next turn for CC Sabathia, I do think his stash ability goes up with this injury because he's that much closer.
Okay. And it's a shame, too, because Sabathia was having another good start, and I thought he was in line for a really good two-start week at the Angels and at the A's. Yasiel Puig gave the fans a double bird. We knew that. Gerardo Parra is going to be out longer than expected with a quad injury. John Gray will make a rehab start tomorrow. James Shields could be back very soon. And Wilson Ramos, if you don't own him, now is the time. He has moved to AAA in his rehab assignment. So Wilson Ramos getting closer and closer. And by the way, I sold Chad Green shorty through 53 pitches on June 11th. So I could see him going like 70. I imagine that's my best guess to who replaces Sabathia short term. But yeah, Chance Adams, Ahmed Rosario, very stashable. Okay, back to yesterday's action. The Twins scored 20 runs. The Cubs went nuts. Couple lineup things here. Matt Carpenter is batting .393 with 3 home runs in 7 games as a leadoff hitter. Travis Shaw homered off a lefty on the road, and he's got a .798 OPS against lefties. Hit his second home run. So again, that's like another guy. Just hold your own against lefties. Do your damage against righties, and that's good. But it's funny, you know, we're seeing Adam Jones last year. This year, Andrew McCutchen batting sixth. Matt Carpenter batting leadoff. Even Dexter Fowler's done better batting second, I think. Gary Sanchez batting sixth. This is all very recent, at least the last three I've mentioned. And last night, Anthony Rizzo leading off, and he homered. And hopefully these lineup moves can...
I also think in a lot of these instances, we need like a song, like a drop for regression. I'm thinking like regression. And that's just like when we talk about Mike Carpenter getting better.
Was that The Simpsons?
Andrew McCutchen. Yeah.
That was terrible.
Thank you. I think we need that drop.
Regression.
And that way we don't really need to discuss. Yeah, we don't really need to discuss like Matt Carpenter's obviously an elite hitter. We don't really need to discuss the fact that he's hot again. Because that's what happens. These guys go through slumps. They get hot. But you expect Matt Carpenter to be Matt Carpenter.
I do, yes.
I wonder if there's a good movie line that would work for that. Like The Fooled You?
No, we've already decided. We're going with The Simpsons.
Oh, okay.
The regression. Yeah, it's tough, though.
He's going to record that.
Regression. Oh, man, that's tough. I got to work that
Adam
out.
I'm going to sit in his room and record him. It's a hard note to hit, right? Or not even just one note. But
it's just,
I mean, you need like a choir.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Yeah. Okay. So this category is called We Be Cubbin'. Our boy Ice Cube sang this one. We Be Cubbin'. Kyle Schwarber caught his third appearance at catcher. So that's cool. Email from Brian. Would you trade a struggling Schwarber for Jonathan Lucroy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And Anthony Rizzo, like I said, led off. And he did that because Ben Zobrist was out, but that might stick. I'm not sure how we feel about that. He homered, and Rizzo has reached safely in 21 of his last 36 plate appearances. The first four hitters in the lineup last night all homered. Rizzo, Hap Grand Slam, Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward, they all homered. And Addison Russell doubled. So he's hot, and he's 76% owned. Anything about Weeby Cubbin here?
Not really. I mean, it's nice to see Addison Russell heating up. I think he's owed some regression. Ian Happ, we're still on the fence about whether he's really a mixed league asset or not. So Grand Slam helps with that, but
it's
still a ways to go.
It's really weird that Jason Hayward only has one steal this season.
Chris, do me a favor. Go to the Google and type in Ice Cube, We Be Clubbin'. You remember that song, right?
I don't think I know that
one. We Be Clubbin'. Everybody likes when the girl shakes something. You don't remember that one?
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, there. This comes up on Google.
Look at his face.
The first track from Ice Cube's soundtrack, The Players Club.
That is like, that is the quintessential Ice Cube face. He is going to kill you. Look at how mad he is as you look at him.
I mean, it's hard to find him menacing after he does like 15 years worth of family friendly.
But he's always that.
He is fantastic in 21 Jump Street.
Oh, he is great in 21 Jump Street. All right, next category. We go from the Cubs to the Twins. Twinsies! They won 20-7 last night. And I don't really know that there's anything all that fantasy relevant. Scott, was Max Kepler in your sleeper hitters?
He was the number one sleeper hitter for this week.
That's right. Good. He went 3-for-5 with a home run. So Kepler is a guy you could start against righties?
Yes. Yes, he has very good numbers against righties. I want to say he's not like embarrassing against lefties either. I think he's probably like it's hard to say because outfield, like, you know, it's such a hard threshold to meet this year, but I would say Kepler's somebody who probably is undervalued kind of overall.
He is embarrassing against lefties this year, 444 OPS.
Okay.
But
misremembered.
Only 10 strikeouts and 52 plate appearances. So there's some positive signs. He doesn't seem totally overmatched.
Well, unfortunately, Kepler is the 48th best outfielder in points, 56th in Roto. So seems like a five outfielder guy. Brian Dozier having a strong season. He's been very good lately, and he's got 9 steals, which is great. He had 18 last year. And he homered yesterday. Are Kenny Vargas at 4% or Eddie Rosario, who had 3 homers yesterday, buried the lead a little bit. Kenny Vargas and Eddie Rosario, 4%, 7% owned. Are they under-owned?
No. I mean, I do kind of like the skill set for Vargas, although he hasn't done everything that I liked from him last year. It hasn't carried over into this year. But this was 4 singles, and he's not playing every day, so it's just not enough to move the needle. And I mean, Rosario,
no,
never showed this kind of power, so it's can't take much from that either.
So a 4 home run game from Scooter Jeanette, a 3 home run game for Eddie Rosario, and we just don't really care. That's baseball for you. Okay, guys, light speed is too slow. We have to prepare the ship for ludicrous speed. And go through the rest of the notes so we can get to grade the trade and some emails. Fringy starting pitchers. Tell me who you want to own in this group. Zach Wheeler, terrible yesterday. And he has a 146 whip. Jimmy Nelson, not a good start yesterday, but he had been very good before that. Joe Ross, Trevor Bauer, Tyler Chatwood, Derek Holland, Brad Peacock, Buck Farmer, JC Ramirez.
I want to own Nelson,
yeah,
Wheeler,
Nelson,
and Peacock.
I think Nelson
order.
Might be far and away my favorite of this group. Beyond that, I'll add Peacock. Wheeler, I think he's a fringy guy.
I don't know that I need to see any more from Buck Farmer because the swinging strike rate was so bad in that second start against the Angels, even though the run prevention, you know, he didn't allow her a run, that I was already beginning to hedge on him, and this start was so awful, it already kind of pushes me over.
Yeah, I watched this start from Buck Farmer. Not bad stuff, but I don't think we're talking, like, great stuff or anything.
He was not very good in the minors.
No. This one, I think we saw coming. We definitely did not get too hyped up about Buck Farmer. We did say add him, but it was probably because of the 2 starts.
I mean, add him because you want to see where it goes, and this is where it went, so
yeah.
Move on.
And what was I going to... Oh, yeah, so you guys have been doing the show with me for years. What am I going to ask now? You said you like Jimmy Nelson the best out of that group. What does Adam Azer, the host, ask now?
Jimmy Nelson or... ...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who? Faria. Come on.
All right. Yeah. Nelson.
Yeah.
Nelson. Okay. Double dongs yesterday. Ryan Zimmerman, who had a, you know, pretty bad slump in mid-May to late May, but he seems to be out of it. Cody Bellinger, who is terrible against lefties, but hit one off Andrew Miller yesterday. Rougned Odor.
His second run Miller's allowed all year.
He hit one off another lefty who it was the first home run he's given up all season. So
yeah.
Paxton?
No. It was yesterday. He hit both of his home runs off lefties.
Oh,
yesterday.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Andrew Miller's ERA nearly doubled in this outing from 0.29 to 0.55.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Was it Logan Verrett? Is he on the Indians?
Sure.
Verrett.
I can dig that.
Was? Boone Logan, first home run he'd given up to a lefty in 50 appearances, I believe.
Boone, good old Boone Logan. Logan Verrett, is he? Where the heck is he? The Mets still?
He's somewhere.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Zimmerman, Double Dong, Bellinger, Rougned Odor, and Jose Martinez. Anything here, guys? Do we care?
Rougned Odor. I mean, it might be too late to buy low on him, considering he has 4 home runs in his last 8 games. But there is a lot of correction coming for him. His batted ball profile is almost exactly the same as last year in terms of line drives to fly balls to ground balls. Even hard contact rate is
a lot of infield similar. Fly balls for him, though. It is worth noting.
Okay.
Yeah, but this
245 BABIP. I see that. I see a lot of correction.
Yeah, I fully agree. I have not really moved him in my rankings all year.
Well, here's the thing. I own Odor in 2 leagues now because I just traded Kodak Glover for him last week. Yes. And that was one of the most instantly terrible trades for Will Brinson. Sorry, Will. But I value him very differently in the 2 leagues. One of them is a head-to-head categories league.
Yeah.
One of them is head-to-head points. This is a guy who might have the biggest difference in head-to-head points versus categories because he's walked once in his last, like, 22 games. You know, his plate discipline is terrible. And I was wondering if Ian Kinsler is better than Odor in a head-to-head points league because of the plate discipline. Is Dustin Pedroia better than Odor? You know,
I mean, but they've had such bad years too.
Yeah, Kinsler might be, Pedroia's not.
But
I'm gonna take Odor over both. Like, yeah, the thing about second base is there's a lot of decent options. There's like the Jonathan Scopes and the Josh Harrisons, and they're all fine. But there's not a lot of standouts. And I think even in a points league, Rougned Odor has the potential to be that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else we got here. We got Billy Hamilton. Billy Hamilton is slumping. And he went 1-for-5. So now he is, let's see. Where the heck are you, Billy? 10 for his last 61. And 10 straight games without a steal. This is the kind of guy that can make you feel like he's the most valuable player in fantasy when he's hot. And so frustrating when he's cold. I don't really know what to say about Billy Hamilton. Is he still just a steal specialist?
He's on a pretty good run pace, too, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. He's got 40
runs.
Yeah,
he's on pace for almost 100 runs. I think he's probably a 2-category guy, but I don't know. He can win you a category by himself. He's still on a 70-plus steal pace, and that's slowed down a bit because, like you said, he hasn't stolen one in 10 games, but he might get 15 steals in his next 10 games.
I think Billy Hamilton is on, like, 115-run pace, Chris. Is that possible?
I think it's a little lower than that.
Okay, but more than 100.
He's on a 104-run pace.
104? All right. Come on, Adam. Do some math. Let's grade some trades after we talk deep leagues here. I'm going to give you 5, 6, 7 guys, something like that, and you tell me... Was that a slip of the tongue there? You tell me who's under-owned. They're all owned in 16% of leagues or less. Luis Perdomo, who was from yesterday's notes. He's in today's now. Luis Perdomo... Ben Lively, those are your pitchers. Perdomo and Lively. Your hitters are Matt Davidson, Eric Young, Jose Martinez, and Franchy Cordero. Anybody strike you as underowned?
Maybe, anybody who's less than 10% owned, you could probably make the argument as underowned if they're playing. But Matt Davidson at 8% ownership, you know, his ownership percentage is less than the number of home runs he has.
Yeah.
That seems a little surprising to me. And
hit for power in the minors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually was a pretty big prospect back when he was in the Diamondbacks organization and kind of lost some momentum after that. But strikes out way too much.
Yeah.
But he also just hits the crap out of the ball. His hard contact versus soft contact rate is one of the most extreme differences of any hitter. And he's playing virtually every day. At DH mostly, so own in AL only
for sure. His strikeout rate is higher than his hard hit rate, though.
Yeah, it's a bad strikeout rate. So
38%,
but it's a low BABIP, and he's hitting .240.
Franchy Cordero should also be more owned in NL only leagues.
That's Matt Davidson, Franchy Cordero, and look, Eric Young has hit 3 home runs in 15 games. He has hit 11 home runs in 578 career games. So unexpected power, but he is going to steal bases.
Flyball revolution?
He's going to steal bases, so Eric Young is 8% owned, and he's hot right now. All right, grade the trade. This is from Doug in South Jersey. Hey, Andy, Red, and Brooks.
Yep, I know that one.
Yep, that's the Shawshank. 10-team points league. Give up. Stroman and Desmond. Stroman and Desmond. Get Miguel Cabrera and Starlin Marte. So this is Marcus Stroman and Desmond for Miguel Cabrera and Marte in a 10-team points league.
I have enough faith in Miggy still to give that a B.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking A. I mean, Starlin Marte is, what, 30 games from coming back, probably?
Yeah, but that's bad. Like, you're...
Yeah, that's a long way to go, and you can't stick him in a DL.
Yeah,
spot.
But I think, like, Stroman and Desmond for Miggy's not bad.
10-team points league, I would imagine Marte is hardly even owned in most of them. So I see him as having virtually no trade value in this format. But just the idea that Stroman, like, the value of a starting pitcher who has been as reliable as Stroman is kind of skewed compared to Miggy, a first baseman, which are a dime or a dozen. So...
Yeah.
But I'll still give it a B. I still want the Miggy side.
Tom from Chicago. Polanco, Robbie Ray, and Velasquez. Gregory Polanco, Robbie Ray, and Velasquez in a 12-team points league for Justin Upton and Noah Syndergaard. So you're giving up again. You're giving up Robbie Ray plus Gregory Polanco and Vince Velasquez. You're getting Justin Upton and Noah Syndergaard.
I don't like it. I don't think it's terrible, but I think it's probably like a D plus.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie Ray's... I don't care about Polanco. I just dropped him in this format. It's basically Robbie Ray.
Rest of season, I'm pretty sure I have Robbie Ray ranked ahead of Noah Syndergaard at this point.
Yeah, because Syndergaard's not coming back till after the All-Star break. So can you go 6 weeks without an ace-caliber pitcher?
And you might not have an ace caliber
pitcher. Is Justin Upton worth that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'll give it a C minus.
This is from Jacob, 10-team, 3-outfielder OBP league. Give up Samardzija and Mazzara. 10-team, 3-outfielder league OBP. Give up Samardzija and Mazzara. Get AJ Pollock. This gives me a lot of anxiety because Scott White thinks Samardzija is headed for the Cy Young, and Pollock is made of glass. P.S. Raisins are decent.
Raisins are decent. Very tepid take there.
One more time. Samardzija and Mazzara for A.J. Pollock.
No, that you got to do that.
Yeah.
I like Samardzija, but Pollock is a clear standout in the outfield, and he's going to be back soon. So
It would be higher if Pollock wasn't currently hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like Chris is not a big Raisins fan, by the way.
No, Raisins are awful.
Well, Raisins and Chris Towers have a lot in common then, because you are officially awful for that stupid take.
Wow.
Hate you, Chris Towers. So this is from Mike.
Things got real.
This is from Mike. Grade the trade. 12-team head-to-head categories league. Give up Bundy, get Bregman. Give up Bundy, get Bregman. Categories.
I would probably have Bregman... higher rest of season, but I don't think that's selling high enough. I definitely agree with the impulse to sell high on Bundy, but I don't think you're getting enough.
Yeah, I agree with that, so I'll give the grade a C minus.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And we got more? Yes, we do. We have Jeff in Charleston. Dear Bobby, Hank, Scott, and Warren.
I was thinking King of the Hill with the first two. I don't know after that.
Yeah,
no, there's no Scott and Warren that I know of in King of the Hill. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Mm.
Bobby. Oh, wait. Bobby Cox, Hank Aaron,
no.
Warren Spahn.
Scott White.
My number's not retired in Atlanta, though.
Maybe not yet.
Is there a Scott whose number's retired in Atlanta?
Scott Brocious. Give Mike Trout. Get Rizzo and Archer. Get Rizzo and Archer for Trout. Yes.
I think that's a
B
really
plus.
Good trade. That's a B plus.
Oh, these are founding members of Marvel's X-Men. Bobby Drake, Hank McCoy, Scott Summers, and Warren Worthington.
Warren and Hank together, though. Like, what are the odds? There's another Warren Hank pairing.
Who's Warren in the X-Men?
Warren Worthington III? I don't know.
The heck knows.
Finally,
that's a good trade, though. What did you give it? Getting
B plus.
Getting Rizzo and Archer for Trout? Yeah, B plus sounds good.
From Paul, 10-team roto, give up Judge, Pineda, and Neil Walker. Somebody hates New York. Give up Judge, Pineda, and Neil Walker. Get Daniel Murphy and Lester. Judge, Pineda, and Walker for Murphy and Lester.
I don't see a lot of downside to this, because even if Judge is legitimately this good, I mean, Daniel Murphy's about as valuable. It's a clear pitching upgrade. Who cares about Neil Walker?
Yeah, Neil Walker's replaceable. So
I'll give this one a B plus as well.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned Neil Walker. Who cares about Neil Walker? Tomorrow I tell you why Neil Walker is underrated. That's on Thursday's show. Thank you, Chris and Scott. Thank you all for listening. Join us for the Reddit AMA at 2 p.m. Eastern. We're out of here.